Okay, I am delighted to welcome somebody who we've known and followed indeed for many years. She is, are you with us there? All right.
Oh, hi. Good morning, Adrian. Hi.
Hello there.
Great
Elizabeth.
To be on your radio network.
Okay. I want to, first of all, I've already given a shamelessly, I might say, a full-fledged endorsement for a couple of reasons. First of all, you've had a decade of experience, in New York City Council in dealing with issues, but also you are a Crowley, and as such, the Crowley name is indeed synonymous with the Democratic Party, very much rooted in Queens, and but you are the 14th of 15 children, Crowleys, born to indeed your father, very well known and respected politician and lawyer, Walter Crowley, and your mother Mary. Now, just you don't have to make this, or explain the Irish Catholic family, in spades. But what was it like growing up in an Irish American household, being you weren't even the youngest, so you couldn't. You weren't petted that much, or if you did, it was true.
There wasn't enough of. Well, you're right. I was the 14th, but the four youngest seemed to get a little bit more attention. And it wasn't just, from the parents. It was from the siblings, the older ones.
Wow.
But
yeah.
It's hard to describe what it was like. I definitely chaotic, never a dull moment, lots of fun at times. And I accredit the big family to the drive I have and how they taught me how to fight for what is right and what I believe in and to never back down. That big Irish family might have been an American Irish family, but in a lot of ways we were raised as immigrants. Like, we didn't, our grandparents came from Ireland, but we had to work hard. We had to pull our own weight. A lot was expected of us. And probably because our parents were so involved in the community, they expect a lot even more from us. And so, I think I certainly wouldn't be who I am today without my big Irish family and my dear parents.
Now, of course, not only in your mom and dad, but the Crowleys, like the Kennedys, like, O'Dwyer's, like families that had a tremendous impact on society and became, whether they wanted to or not, that Irish flag was woven with the American flag on their sleeve. What did you, and when did it dawn on you that not just being from Ireland, not just being a Catholic, coming from your roots, that when did the public service aspect kick in? Were you, did it start Irish and spread, or was there a sense?
That's a good question, Adrian. Interestingly enough, the Irish are known for their involvement with labor unions. And I grew up the 14th or 15th. My parents probably never thought I would be the one to run for office and hold office. And maybe most of my siblings too, but I just followed my passions in school and I was good at art. I studied art restoration and preservation. And then I worked on buildings, preserving buildings like St. Patrick's Cathedral, Central Synagogue, many of our theaters, Radio City Music Hall. And it was there that I got involved with my union. And then it dawned on me, there were not enough people like me at the time. It was like I was a young mother. I was active with my union on the city council. And so they supported my efforts and, to stand up for the working person and never back down for the working person and really against the status quo is the work that I did when I had the opportunity to serve the 9 years that I served in the city council.
We somehow, as an ethnic group, maybe we're not the best at bemoaning the days gone by, and it comes very easy to us to say, God be with the good old days. Well, the good old days may have had, and obviously, if we look through American history, the Irish, particularly those who immigrated here, they made their mark politically. And, you know, for those who say, well, you know, that's all dead and gone, the influence of the Irish on the political scene, in on the unions, on the job front, is very strong, except we don't kind of acknowledge it. Yes, overall, you know, maybe our profile is not as prominent as it has been. What's your own view on that?
I think this time of the year, we realize it more. Last year, during the month of April, I traveled to Belfast with the unions from New York to take part in the opening of the James Connolly Center in Belfast, and where they showed how James Connolly really influenced the transport workers union and set labor policies in New York before he took part in the Easter Rebellion. So, you know, that rising up, that fire in the belly, the fight back that happened because the Irish were suppressed for a long time by the English, and that fight, I think that fight is also the fight against the big corporations and the fight for workers' rights. And it's unfortunate that at times people forget that, but I've been often reminded by strong labor leaders, let's say like John Samuelson from the Transport Workers, and during the celebration of the 100 years since the Easter Rising, when New York, we took a whole delegation out to Ireland from the city council. The speaker at the time, who was Puerto Rican, went, and you know, and she was even able to connect a lot of parallels to fights in Puerto Rico for rights of workers and liberation to the fight with the Irish.
When during this period in the St. Patrick's season, yes, in song and in story and in attitude, you know, multi-ethnic groups join us in being and in celebrating the green of St. Patrick's. Let me just ask you though about the job of borough president, particularly Queen's borough president, the most diverse ethnic and well, add what you want to that, but it's sure. this is the melting pot. We used to refer to you know, New York and, you know, as the melting pot, but Queens somehow it requires a lot of study. And well, start there and tell us about how.
Yeah, so in Queens, there's 190 different languages spoken, many, many more countries represented. The desire to come here, of all places, and stay here to build your American dream, it is something that's alive and real, and it needs to stay that way, and it needs to stay available to the newcomers. 50% of our adults in Queens were born in a different country. And so we're proud of that diversity, and I certainly believe it gives the county its strength and it sets it apart from other places in the world. And we need to showcase that more. You know, when we have somebody in the White House that likes to divide based on differences, we're doing it quite differently here in Queens. And we have a strong economy. We're growing so fast. We really need a good planner in the borough president's office to plan adequate transit and housing to meet the demands that we've seen and the growth that we've had in the past generation.
Yeah, from taxpayers and those in the most progressive county in New York City, Queens seems to donate much more overall to the city than they get in return. Sometimes think that the trains and the buses, the transit in New York City, takes such a bad rap that who cares, which borough gets more or less or whatever, the whole thing is a mess. Queens in particular seems to be a target when there are cutbacks, when there are changes. Why is that to begin with?
It may be because we're the immigrant borough and we don't complain enough. Mm. We put our heads down and we work hard. And the fact is, not only when we have budget cuts, but just the regular general operating budget during good times, Queens never receives its fair share.
Yeah.
And so as part of the campaign, I'm pushing hard for fair share. Queens pays the highest property taxes in the city. The property tax bill needs to be reformed, as well as the services. We need to make sure that the services are meeting the demands of an ever-growing, vibrant borough.
Elizabeth Crowley, I want to ask you about, first of all, the awareness and then the participation of those who are looking towards the 2030 for a carbon neutral borough of Queens in New York. First of all, how real is it? What is the, if we were to take, like, is that a very low percentage of people who are aware or who care one way or the other? How do you build that?
That's a really good question. Well, the governor has made it easier for us because he's put a plan together for the state to go carbon neutral by 2040. And we're saying, as one of the counties that's probably, the second most populated, certainly, but of the highest population, it's going to be difficult because people create, the burning of fossil fuels, which hurts the environment. But there's ways we can go about helping homeowners re-outfit their homes so they are less energy dependent. I mean, I'm on Rockaway today. I'm on the peninsula for their Rockaway parade, and they were devastated so much by Superstorm Sandy. It's about rebuilding stronger and more resilient communities where you are taking advantage of the waterfront but also protected from it. It's things and resources that we currently have available that we need to tap into and not give back. I mean, there's still billions of dollars in New York that still haven't been spent since Superstorm Sandy, and we need a leader for the borough that's going to plan big projects, that's going to decrease our dependency on fossil fuels, and build our borough greener and more resilient for this generation and for generations to come.
Okay. Having a Crowley in that position as leader is, again, something, friends, that not just in passing, but the Crowley name, the Crowley family, has contributed so much, and at a time when we're, again, bemoaning the fact that there are fewer and fewer Irish in leadership positions in the political line. We might also mention that your cousin, Congressman Joe Crowley, served for more than 20 years. And the Crowleys, in addition to indeed being supporters of Labour, tremendous supporters in public service, never lost track of their roots and from whence they come. Northern Ireland, the peace process, and particularly immigrants and the contribution of immigration, never shied away. Crowley never shied away from that, and I know, again, that first of all, we wish you luck. The reason that we really wanted to have you on today, Elizabeth Crowley, is that in special elections, it somehow they get lost, regardless, they get lost in the middle of and particularly the St. Patrick's season. Explain to us, if you will, that we know that March 24th is the last day. That is election day. But what is the process and how, what changed that a lot of people have now can vote before the date itself? What's the lead up?
Well, there is early voting in New York City, and for Queens County, we have 14 different council districts, and in each district there's one location. So depending on where you live, there's a location where you can vote up to 10 days before the election, and that could be found on my website, that could be found on the Board of Elections website, and, March is an unpredictable month. Today we have a beautiful day in New York, mm-hmm. but we've seen snow and bad weather, and so if people take advantage of this, this would be a great opportunity to get some early votes in. This is the second time New York is doing early voting, and we're hopeful and encouraged by the number of people who have already expressed an interest and have pledged to do early voting.
We want to wish you luck again, and before we send you on your way to Rockaway, we do want to give a shout out to Mike Benn. Who is Mr. Rockaway, and who, with a great number of people there, have made Rockaway, and if you don't believe me, then ask anybody from Rockaway, the second largest parade and the first in terms of the enjoyment and indeed all that goes with it to celebrate. So give a shout out to Mike Benn on our behalf. Your website, and that is what's important at this stage. It's a great website, and it will give all of us a chance to look and see, in addition to having a one of our own, a family of tremendous distinction, and somebody who knows what she's doing has survived somehow 9 years in the New York City Council. Give us your website, please, Elizabeth.
It's an easy one. It's ElizabethCrowley.com, www.ElizabethCrowley.com.
Good luck to you. Okay.
Thank you, Adrian. Pleasure to be on the show this morning.
Thank you very
and,
much.
Happy St. Patrick's Day season to you and all your listeners.
Thank you. Thanks again. All right. Elizabeth Crowley there. Great. And again, look. We don't. Who doesn't know or who doesn't have a relative in Queens, if you're anywhere in or around New York City? More Irish American in Queens than in any other borough. Chances are that a lot of people do not even know that there is a special election for borough president. I can't advocate more strongly the Crowleys, big family history of indeed support in so many areas, from immigrant rights, unions, and indeed their interest and involvement in the peace process in Northern Ireland. Those are only a few of the reasons that I think we should pay attention. Rattle your friends and your relatives in Queens and tell them, get onto the website, ElizabethCrowley.com. And again, the last day and the day of the election is March 24th, but you don't have to wait for that.